I love you, Mom. How many thousands of times have I said that in my life and continue to say it without realizing that it's a lie? Now, I don't want to overplay the hypocrisy. It's more a case of human weakness. But very often, the love that I expressed with my lips for my mom was contradicted by my actions. Because how can you love someone and yet do what they hate and then not do what they ask? And so my actions contradicted my words so often, and I wish that it stopped there. And only my poor mother suffered that. But sadly, I do it even more often with my Lord, where I'll tell him, Lord, I love you so much and I want to serve you. I'm so grateful for all that you've done for me. But then I cling to what he hates and I refuse to do what he asks. So what is it that he hates that we far too often cling to? The first reading makes it very clear. Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. Now, the word there is actually abominable in the sight of the Lord. So it could be translated, the Lord hates wrath and anger. They are repulsive to him, and yet we hug them tight. And you might say, not me. No. Other people, maybe, yeah. Think of that one person that the moment you think of them, your blood boils. They might be a political figure, they might be a relative, a coworker, somebody. If you have anybody like that, you've got some wrath and anger in your heart. And you've given it some room to take root. And it's hateful to the Lord. Why is it hateful to him? Because it destroys what he loves so much, which is your soul. It's like this cancer that eats away at every nook and cranny. Anywhere where we have given space to wrath and anger, we have kicked God out. Because it's oil and water. You have to have one or the other. And whenever we choose to let wrath stay, we tell God, you're not welcome in that part of my heart. Now, what do I mean by wrath and anger? It's not the passing emotion. That's natural. There are things that should inspire anger. But then that anger is kind of like a check engine light. And we come to the Lord with it and we say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this anger? Should it be fuel for prayer, fuel for action? Should it be an inspiration for a conversation to try and change something that's happening? But if we don't let it be that, if we just have it sit and fester, it eats away at us. And that's why it's hateful to the Lord, because it kills his children. So that is the thing that he hates that I cling to. So what is the thing that he tells me to do that I refuse? That's where the gospel comes in. All throughout the gospel, the Lord says over and over again, forgive. And we make ourselves the exceptions to that. We say, yeah, in theory, that's great, but you don't know how badly I've been hurt. Or we make the excuse, you know, they haven't said sorry yet, so I can't forgive until they grovel at my feet and let me know that they know that they're scum and that I'm great. Then I'll forgive them. That's not the way that our Lord paints the picture. He doesn't say, yes, once they're perfect, then you forgive them. No, he says, you forgive from your heart. Because you don't realize how much you've already been forgiven. See, it's insane how much we've been forgiven by the Lord and how little we think of it. This parable actually illustrates it well. Because what's translated here, a huge amount, actually, in what's was written in the scriptures there, it's counted up. There's an actual number that's given, and it's given in terms of a daily wage. Do you know how many days' earnings this servant owed this king? Over 2,700 years' worth. It was absolutely impossible for him to be able to pay back this debt. This king had every right to take this man's life, and instead, he had compassion. You know, that's actually our situation with the Lord. We don't think of it in those terms because we're so used to him being forgiving. We forget how terrible any little sin is. Because, for an example, if I strike one of my fellow men in the face, right? I get mad at him and I punch him right in the nose. That's bad. I shouldn't do it. If I strike a child in the face, how much worse is that? Because there's innocence there. You should never strike an innocent like that. If I steal from somebody, that's bad. But if I steal from people who, when I was homeless, took me into their home, and in the midst of their generosity and goodness, I basically slapped them in the face by stealing from them, that's even worse. Our actions and our sins are worse to the degree that the person they're committed against is innocent, is good, is all-loving. With God, that's everything to the infinite. He has given us everything, and every little sin is an offense to the innocent one, to the all-good, all-loving one. And yet, that great infinity of debt that I have to him, he forgives like that. Because he says, no, I want you to be free. I want you to live and to not have the burden of your debt weighing you down. So I forgive you freely. But for me to accept that forgiveness, I need to then spread that forgiveness. But what does that forgiveness look like? I think that's where we get hung up very often. Is we think forgiveness means giving someone a pass, saying, what you did was okay. Or we think forgiveness means we're going to be friends again. We're going to be seeing each other all the time. I want to be around you. No. Forgiveness, that's me in the sovereign freedom of my heart saying, even though what you did was deplorable and it still hurts me, and frankly, I don't want to be close to you, even taking all of that into account, I refuse to hate you. Because by the grace of God, I don't have to be forced into hatred by anything you've ever done to me. And in fact, I'm going to pray for you. Every time pain rears its ugly head, instead of letting that turn into wrath and anger, I'm going to let it be fuel for prayer so that I can pray for you. That in your heart the Lord may work powerfully, that in my heart the Lord may work powerfully, and that someday, even if we're not reconciled here on earth, we can be reconciled up in heaven. That's forgiveness. It doesn't depend on the other person doing something. It depends on you and the freedom of your heart saying, just as the Lord is kind and merciful, just as he has been with me, I'm going to be with everybody else. And that's where we finally find that freedom and that lightness of the heart that the saints had. Wrath and anger, resentment, it weighs us down. It slows us in our progress in the spiritual life. The Lord wants to free us, and forgiveness is what does that. So just as we proclaim that the Lord is kind and merciful, slow to anger and rich in compassion, we remember that you were made in his image and likeness. You are filled with his Holy Spirit that allows you to be as he is. So this week we think, where has wrath and anger found root, taken root in my heart? And how can I let the Lord take it from me? Where have I been unforgiving, where I can finally taste the freedom of forgiveness? So that as he is kind and merciful, slow to anger and rich in compassion, so I may be as well.